Let me first start by thanking Jozsi, Oleg, and June for the opportunity to speak and to wish Bruce once more all the best. If you take an algebraic extension of the rationals, one can look at the integral elements in there, and that's certainly one of the several beginnings of algebraic number theory. And as far as I know, historically, the first time that this was done in a non-commutative setting was at the beginning of the 20th century by Brandt. And so it makes sense to have a look at some such questions. If we let O be a Dedekind ring, and K is field of quotients, then an O lattice is just a finitely generated O submodule of a K vector space V, which contains a K basis of V. And if we have a variety of algebras, then an order of an algebra, of a K algebra A, is just such a lattice which is closed under the operations of A, and makes sense for the varieties that one has studied in this conference. I'm interested today in Lie algebras, somewhat perhaps uncharacteristically. So let me set the notation by saying that if I've got a finite dimensional simple, I guess, is missing Lie algebra over a field of characteristic an algebraically closed field of characteristic zero, then we have a root system phi and a basis delta, which I'll denote alpha 1 to alpha L. And the this Lie algebra has a Chevalier basis, H alpha I for alpha I in the and delta, and X alpha for alpha in phi. And in here, you can look at the Z span of these elements, and this is what Bourbaki calls the Chevalier order. Now, if you take this Z span, so the Z lattice spanned by a Chevalier basis, then you can take this Chevalier order and tensor it with any field, tensor it over Z, to get a Lie algebra over K. Now, I'm interested in the case where K is a local field and O is its ring of integers, pi is the prime of O, and Gothic P, the prime ideal, U, the units of O, and P, the residual characteristics, so the characteristic of the residue field over P. It makes sense, if you remember Skip Garibaldi's talk, to look at local phenomena in the hope, in this case, I think correct, that there would be some sort of local global correspondence. So since the structure constants for a Chevalier basis are rational integers, if we look at the O span of the Chevalier basis, then we get an order. So it's a lattice which contains a finitely generated module. So a lattice contains a basis of the algebra over the field, and it's closed under the product. So it's an order of this Lie algebra over capital K. Now, I want to introduce a family of what are orders that come from Bouyatit's theory. You take the extended Dynkin diagram, so the diagram corresponding to your simple roots alpha 1 to alpha L, where you've adjoined the negative of the highest root, which I call alpha 0. And to each vertex in this diagram, we're going to associate an order. To alpha 0, we associate the Chevalley order. And to alpha I, for I greater than 0, we associate the following order. If you look at any root alpha, since alpha I appears with the non-zero coefficient in alpha 0, you can write alpha not as a integral linear combination of the roots alpha 1 to alpha L, but as a rational linear combination of the roots alpha 1 to alpha I minus 1, alpha I plus 1 alpha L, and alpha 0. And what you take is the same Cartan part here, but you take as coefficient for your root vectors some powers of the prime ideal, where this power EI is obtained in the following way. You look at the coefficient of alpha, the coefficient of alpha 0 in the expression of alpha as a rational linear combination of these roots, and you take alpha EI to be the smallest integer which is greater or equal to the coefficient of alpha 0. In fact, if you stop to think about it, what this gives you for I greater than 0 is the following order, where you have the Cartan lattice, which is okay, and if alpha does not involve alpha I, so the coefficient here would be 0, you get O as a coefficient. If it does involve alpha I, but not as the maximal possible coefficient, you get an O here. If it involves the maximal coefficient, so minus the coefficient in alpha 0, then you get P inverse, and otherwise you take P here. And it's not hard to show that this lattice Li is actually an order of Lk. Well, we would like to say something about these orders, and in my title I said maximal orders, so somehow you expect that maximality comes into play, and you need some handle on maximality. And having an associative form, non-degenerate associative form, is at least some handle on maximality. So if I have a non-degenerate bilinear form and a lattice in a vector space, then I will call the O-dual of this lattice everything such that the value of the form on the lattice and the element in L star is actually integral. The next definition is due to Bruat. Bruat looked at these, at the Chevalley order in an old paper in the 60s, where before Bruatis, let's say. And he said that we should say that if we have a lattice, we'll say that a form is strongly non-degenerate on this lattice if the lattice is self-dual with respect to this form. Now, if you're working with Lie algebras, it's natural to look at the Killing form, and this is what Bruat did. Now, if you look at the Killing form, you pretty soon encounter problems with primes, and if you're doing anything arithmetical, the primes are the important things. And so recently, in a paper that appeared in 2004, Gross and Naber, in a paper called Globally Maximal Arithmetic Groups, introduced a normalized form of the killing form by looking at 1 over 2 H check times the killing form, where H check is the dual Coxeter number. If all roots are the same length, this is just the 1 plus the sum of the coefficients in the highest root. If there are two root lengths, then you have to sort of normalize. The advantage of having this normalized killing form is that for the various root systems, the determinant is much nicer than the original one. In fact, if you look at the primes, with the exception of AL, the only primes that appear are 2 and 3. The only primes that appear in the determinant of this form, the determinant with respect to a Chevalier basis, are 2 and 3. Now, if you took the original killing form, you would have L would enter in the other determinants of the classical Lie algebras, and Brouillard got around that by embedding his order in the next one in the for classical algebras in the series. And in fact, he proved a proposition which is roughly this. This is a little bit incorrect. Let me say what Brouillard proved. First, he assumed that his field was of characteristic zero, but this was an assumption throughout the paper, and as far as I can tell, had nothing to do with that part of the paper, but rather with the fact that Borel-Pitts was not available in characteristic P at that time. And he assumed that the residual characteristic was not 2, not 3, not 5, not 7. And then he shows that an order in the Lie algebra LK is a Chevalier order if and only if there exists a split simple Lie algebra L tilde K containing LK, a split Cartan subalgebra of L tilde containing H, which is a split Cartan subalgebra, and of L, and an O order L tilde of LK tilde containing the original order such that it's well behaved with respect to the Lie bracket, and the restriction of the killing form of the bigger algebra to L is strongly non-degenerate. So it was a way for him to get around problems of having prime divisors in the determinant of the killing form in the classical case. Well, I would still need this. I should say perhaps that the reason why he needs the K to be a complete discrete valuation is that he needs to prove a Jacobson-Morozov theorem, and he does it by successive approximation. The reason I can drop the characteristics 5 and 7 is that really I should not, the theorem should not be stated the way it is, but I should say here that this should be for the normalized killing form. And so this leads one to believe that having the killing form be strongly non-degenerate on the Chevalier order is a natural assumption to make. And it's an assumption I'm going to make in the future. So, for from now on, I'll assume that this normalized killing form is strongly non-degenerate on the Chevalier order L0. Then, if I have, now I'm not, if I have a local field, I'm not assuming a complete discrete field with a residual characteristic not 2 or 3, then the LIs, which I've introduced earlier, are maximal orders, not just the L0. And one can show that it's a Chevalier order if and only if the coefficient of alpha I in alpha 0 is minus 1, or if you prefer, the coefficient of alpha I in the highest root is plus 1. The way to see that this happens is to look at Brewer's result and to compute L star. Now, if you compute L star, if you remember what these orders looked like, all you have as coefficients are O, P, and P. That's the previous slide. Well, let me say, I won't hunt for this slide anymore, but all you have as coefficients are O, P, and P inverse, so it's hardly surprising that L star isn't that far from LI. And in fact, you can check that because the killing form is associative, LI sits in LI star, and in fact that pi LI star sits in LI. And so if I look at the quotient of LI star by LI, it's actually a vector field over the residue field, and I can define the dimension. Now, you can compute these dimensions, and let me fish them out. If you compute these dimensions, for example, I want to start with A. If you compute these dimensions for A, you see the extended Dedekind diagram is actually a cycle, and if you compute the dimensions, you find out that they're all zero. So these dimensions are not telling you anything, because of course they're an invariant of the order, and if you have different dimensions, then these orders can't be isomorphic. If you look at the case B, here the extended Dedekind diagram looks like this, and you see if you look at the value of these d's, they are zero for the Chevalier order and the order connected with alpha 1, and then some function of I and L. And it's not hard to check that these numbers are all distinct. For the only way that di could be equal to dj for I greater than 1 would be if I is equal to j. And so what this says is the orders that correspond to the alphas here are all distinct except for these two, which are the Chevalier order, or a Chevalier order if you want. And looking at these two examples, what it seems to indicate is that since all the vertices here are in the same orbit with respect to the automorphism group of the graph, they're all the same. And here the automorphism group of the graph is just the group that flips these two, and they're the same, and everything else is distinct. And in fact, this is what you get by observation. Let's have a look at the at D, which is a bigger case in this, I mean, a case with a bigger group, but not everything is in the same orbit. When you look at the values of the D's, you find out that these four extremal points all have value zero, and that apart from these four, the two D's will have the same value if they're symmetrical. And that shows that, again, these orders are distinct if they're in distinct orbits with respect to the automorphism group of the graph. And this is true for all of them. So we have the following proposition. We have a local field of residual characteristic other than 2 and 3. The maximal orders Li and Lj are isomorphic if and only if the corresponding subgraphs of the extended Dinka diagram are isomorphic. Now, this is, of course, the same as saying that alpha I and alpha j would be in the same, the vertices corresponding to alpha I and alpha j are in the same orbit for the automorphism group of the graph. Well, what else can one ask? So we have classes of maximal orders over a local field which correspond to vertices in the Dinkin diagram. Is that all? Well, I should say that up to now, all the proofs have, except for the looking at the DIs, have been done without a case-by-case analysis. A case-by-case analysis will yield that in the classical cases, that's all. And it's the same for G2. Now, the choice next is to try and do the other exceptional cases or to try and give a proof which is not done by a case-by-case analysis. And that's what I'm trying to do. The first thing that one notices is to notice that if you have a maximal order by looking at the adjoint representation, which will be integral by definition of an order, you will get a Cartan lattice of the same type that is present in these orders, and hence you will get that your order will look like it's the one that I had last time that I did not want. It's going to look like this. It is going to look like this, where you don't know what these exponents are. And so it's a matter of showing that up to isomorphism, the exponents must be chosen in the way that have been described, and so far I haven't been able to do that, but I think there's some hope. And this is what I plan to say this afternoon. I don't think it places any restriction other than ruling out residual characteristic 2 and 3, and where it, in that case it's clearly not true. I shouldn't say I don't think. It doesn't place any restriction other than residual characteristic, not 2 and 3, if you take this normalized form. Okay. I should have said that the other thing that I would like to do is then do look at the TKK for these orders to find the principal SL2s and connect them with orders in the Jordan case. And that was really my motivation when I started looking at this. Yes, he, you know, this is before Bruyatitz, and so he was looking for maximal compact subgroups of p-adic groups, essentially. But he found them. But I think the Bruyat paper appeared in 64, so a long time. So I have to look for that. Good. Thank you. As usual. Did you get a hold of Yuri? Is it okay? Sorry?
I was born in jail with you.
Okay. Are they? Sorry, I missed what you said. How many?
Antonio playing for Charles Hughes.
Antonio is the only one, I think.
I'm not sure if Antonio is coming. Maybe I don't.
I don't know how coefficient this. Is.